I really think my voice is best suited for that music, for bluegrass and the old mountain Americana sound. That's really what's in my Smoky Mountain DNA. And, of course, I grew up singing those songs, and my daddy loved bluegrass music. So any of that old stuff just resonates with me. And when I'm singing it, it just automatically comes out of me the way it did, you know, back when we were growing up. So it really is a true love. I would love to have been able to, well, I wanted to do everything, but it would suit me fine as a singer if I could just do that particular kind of music. And maybe someday when I'm older, I hope to kind of sit around and travel around doing kind of like the Mother Maybelle kind of stuff, and where I really do just more sing with more acoustic instruments and a lot of bluegrass. And I think that really comes from people really feeling that music. Those stories were really true, you know, whether it's about heartache or whether it's about tragedy, children dying, or, you know, or just that sort of thing. But I think when I grew up, I'm from a big, big family, poor people, way back in the mountains. And music was one of the ways that people really said what they felt. And you just really felt everything that you were singing about. And I remember hearing my family sing, and if they were singing a sad song as a little child, I would just feel that same sorrow, that same heartache. And so you just kind of, that just kind of gets built into you somehow. So when I sing those songs or even write them, I really feel it, just like I did when I would hear them sing it. And it is a soulful thing. It is a music from the soul, and it's really your true feelings. And my voice is like acting a song. Whatever the story is, I become that thing. I become that person. I become that story. And I think you feel that. I tell you, they've made it hard through the years for us to define anything. And it would be great if we could keep everything pure. But the fact that, for me, I've always been in the music business. I always think of the business end. But I know that's so much a part of my soul, like you said, so much a part of my being, that I try to incorporate those feelings in other varieties of music. So to say that you could define it anymore, it's just like most of the country music now. Back then, we'd have thought that was rock and roll, or it's rock, or rockabilly, or this and that. So, but by the same token, there's a certain harmony sound, strands of emotion or feelings, you know, in with it. So it's really hard to say, but that's one of the reasons, like on songs like Lay Your Hands on Me, even really from the pop world, even though I changed it into like a gospel song, but it was important to me to really have those bluegrass harmonies against that hard rock sound. I love the way that sounds. But you have the choir on that too. But if you'll listen close, you'll hear all those really true bluegrass harmonies. And I even had like people like Carl Jackson and different people come sing on a lot of this stuff that I wanted to get it really authentic sound. So anyway, it's hard to define it, but what are you going to do? You got to roll with the times, roll with the punches. And then if you can do like an album, for instance, you got to do what you got to do. But then there are times when I did The Grass is Blue, one of my favorite things I've ever done. I just thought, I am doing a true, authentic bluegrass album with real bluegrass songs and real bluegrass pickers and singers. And I'm as proud of that as anything I have ever done. Like I always say, I don't give people advice. I just pass on some information. I don't like people giving me advice. I think everybody has to do it their own way. And they don't necessarily come to me for any of that, but we'll talk. You know, like with Rhonda and Allison and all. I mean, I love them dearly, just dearly. It's just hard, especially like for women, you know, in any kind of business, but especially in bluegrass music too. I used to watch my daddy. My daddy, as I've often said, the reason I started my imagination library was that so many of my family didn't get a chance to go to school, couldn't read and write. My dad was from a family of 14 or 15 kids, and people just have to get out and help in the fields. And so daddy never got a chance to go to school, but my daddy was so smart. He raised 12 kids. He was just one of those people that knew how to bargain, you know, that old horse trading. He just was just smart. And what little damn money he did make, he knew how to make it and where to put it and how to use it. So I think I got my business sense just watching my dad maneuver. I got my music from my mama's people. They were not worth anything in business, but they loved the music and they were great in that. But my dad had a business mind and my mom had the talent. So I really like to think that I got my daddy's sense of business and my mama's creative and spiritual side. I love to write, and I don't have a set pattern. My life is a song. I'll be watching something on TV, the morning news, somebody will say something, or there'll be something on. I think, whoa, that'd be a good idea for a song, or ooh, what a great line, or whatever. So I'll go scribble something down. But almost every day, I come up with something. I'll either write title or a chorus or a few verses or put down a little melody that's kind of running through my head. It's not like to lose things. Or no, if I'm commissioned to do something, like when I wrote the 9 to 5 musical, you know, I had to read the script and I knew what they wanted, so I had to really be disciplined to do that. But I'm such a skilled writer now that I was surprised how good I did with that, because I was kind of scared to start with that I wouldn't be able to do that because I've never done it. But I really realized that so all these years of writing that I was just made for that and telling stories, and I didn't have to worry about in that particular thing about saying, you know, like a chorus or bridge or, and you know, to have 2.5 minutes or you won't get on the radio. In a musical, you can kind of write pretty much what you want to do. If I have my way, I like to try to plan through the year to say, okay, now I'm taking off 2 to 3 weeks to just write. I don't want to be bothered with nothing or nobody. That way I can usually go back to my old mountain home or out to my lake house or wherever I feel, whatever I want to write about. And I'll just kind of spend a few days kind of fasting, kind of just trying to get myself spiritually anchored for God to kind of give me good ideas. And so after a few days, I'll start writing, and I'll just continue to do that until I'm finished with that. I usually take my false fingernails off when I go to write because I want to really be able to play the real good licks. And then when I'm done writing, I come back to town and get a new set of nails and go on about my business. Then go in the studio and sing them. I love the blues, but I think people's going to always love that music. Well, I love that they've taken a lot of my songs and made them into dance records. I have actually written some songs just for that, and believe it or not, so many of them I've included so much bluegrass with my harmonies on some new dance stuff that I've got, some original stuff. Not that they're just the DJs go in and add rhythm to it, but I've actually written some songs, and there's a... Well, I won't give you the titles yet, so somebody may steal it before I get it out. But anyway, I really think it's great for people to be able to get involved with the music. And like when you said the blue smoke, actually do a little clog on that on stage while when he's playing the little turnaround. I kind of do my little clogging thing, and I say, I feel up, I'm just at the Grand Ole Opry. But anyhow, so I just think if you can write stuff that people relate to, certainly can move to, I think it makes people enjoy it. But I have such a wide range of fans, because from old people that's grown up with me, and then their kids, and then their little kids, and then Hannah Montana when I was on that show, when that show was so popular. I was Aunt Dolly on that, so I even created a whole new group of people. So I've just been so blessed and thankful that I've been around this long and I can still do it to kind of be part of everything that's going on. So I love being able to do all that. I've been blessed with that. Get to do the movies, get to do the music, get to write a lot of stuff for that. But everybody ain't that lucky. Get out there and dance or whatever, and you're going to get a kick out of some of this new dance stuff I've got going that's really just created just for that. Well, I try to have uplifting stuff in my songs. I mean, of course, I write a lot of sad, miserable songs, but I really do have a lot of good, positive songs, like Light of a Clear Blue Morning, or, you know, those Eagle When She Flies, and things that really have a lot of truth and a lot of message and a lot of inspiration, because to me, that's important. But I write a lot of that just because that's what I need myself. And I know that what I need is what everybody needs, is because we're just people. We all have the same hurts, the same joys. You know, we get happy and sad about the same things, hurt about the same things. So it's just important to stay in tune with your audience and do your best to give them what they need or what they want or what you want them to have. Well, it's easier for me now. Back in the early days, you know, you had to struggle to try to make enough money to buy your clothes, to afford a bus, buses for the band, costumes for the band. And back in the early days, it was really hard to even just come out to where you even broke even. But you were building a career. And, of course, you didn't know if you were going to always have an audience. You didn't know if you were going to have enough people, you know, to come to the shows. But now I've been so fortunate, as I had just mentioned, to get to do so many different things, that it's easier for me now because I can afford to have people. Really helped me a lot, that I used to have to do a lot of that myself, coming up with the, you know, with the ideas and all that. So now I'm able to afford to have people to help with that, which means we can do bigger shows for more money, have more people, a bigger band, and that sort of thing. But so it's easier in that way. But I have to honestly say, it's still fun for me. But those early days, like anything else, when you're alive and you're discovering and you're, you know, watching things come true. There was a great joy, even though it was harder. There was a great joy in that than there is now when you can kind of pretty much predict, you know, what's going on. But when I get out on that stage, though, when I see that audience and I see their response to me, it just all comes back to me why I started this to start with. Because I love that. I love that exchange of love and energy and the excitement of that. I still love it. And I guess I'll be doing it unless I get sick or my husband gets sick. I don't ever intend to retire, so I hope to always do it. Well, not as a whole album, but through the years, I've recorded songs. Well, like when I did Help, you know, I had bluegrass flavors of that. So there's songs all through the years that I've added, like as bluegrassy as I could get for whatever I was doing at the time. Like I said, if I had my way, I'd do a bluegrass album every year. But that's why albums like The Grass is Blue are outstanding, because people really appreciate that. But there's just songs scattered here and there. Well, sometimes we do when we're on stage, every now and then we'll take something and make it more bluegrass with more instrument, you know, the mandolins and fiddles and stuff. But no, I've never really thought about redoing those. Like, but I am going to, and this might be a good time, a good way to do it. I am going to do I think I've had like 21 or 22 number ones through the years. And I thought, well, how should I do that someday? I thought I should really kind of do that really like unplugged. Or that's what I'm saying. So I'll give that some thought. I love the bluegrass parks all around the country. I've performed at many of them through the years. But I just love that old-time music, and I love shows like yours. On weekends, my husband and I ride around in our little RV. He loves bluegrass and hard rock. He loves Led Zeppelin and Bill Monroe. That's his two favorite, you know, people. So we were always finding all these little stations that just play like that American music or bluegrass, and we love that. So I think there'll always be a place for it. Hopefully I'll always have enough songs, like on a few of these from the Blue Smoke, that where you can actually include some of those on your program. But I think people's going to always love that music. I hope the world don't get so out there and so high tech that we forget all those feelings of what that music really does. Well, I know I look like a big old phony, but I am the realest person in the world, because I really have that heart, that mountain heart, that bluegrass heart, of that those songs that really just resonate with, you know, with everything that's in you, where it's connected to God, it's connected to family, it's connected to nature. You're just part of the birds and the bees and the rocks and the stumps. And, you know, I am that, you know, growing up in those mountains like that. So I think that people are longing for that. There's so much now. I think that's why so many of these Christian movies are doing so well now. People are longing for family again, like something for real. Everything just can't go just like they had all the time. We need to kind of bring it back, you know, to where there's some realness and some honesty and some true feeling, where we're allowed to feel and not forget how to do it. So anyway, keep up with your music, and I hope I've always put something out that you can play on your shows. Well, probably more than I even realized, because you must know all those people, like the Brewster Brothers. And, oh, I just love that. And I used to just sing with them, so I'm sure that was just adding more, you know, stuff into that part of my being, because they used to back me up a lot of times when I would sing there. My Uncle Bill used to go with me a lot, but after the years went by, when I started growing into a teenager and all, I would go to the station. I'd have my guitar, but the local bands there with the Cavs and the different people that would come, they would back me up, and I would sing with different ones. So I'm sure every bit of that was just going right into my soul, right into my heart, and it has influenced me. Well, I grew up singing that song. I heard that all my life, and it was always such a man's song. And I always, you know, I wanted to record it years ago, and I thought, oh, I don't like to sing a song that's just like a man, you know, just from a man's standpoint, because it was really about a guy that really killed his girlfriend. So I thought, well, I'm clever. I'm a writer. So why don't I just kind of box this in a little bit and just kind of present myself as a reporter or a writer that goes into prison to talk to this guy. So I kind of wrote that little part of I went into his prison cell to tell his story, to write his story if he'd tell. And he spoke as tears fell from his eyes, and he told me when and where and why. And he said, then I could go right into the song. And then I would stop every now and then and do that. And but then he said, well, so it made it for me, like to any girl now that ever wants to record that song, I hope she can use that and think, oh, good, that made it like a girl song now.